We'll launch this rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with this rain report. This summer marks the 25th anniversary that Bill Brown, WB8ELK, launched his first weather balloon. During the BalloonSat Forum at the 2012 Dayton Hamvention, Bill spoke about a high-altitude BalloonSat project that resulted in a weather balloon launched in California, floating across the United States, then the Atlantic Ocean, to its disintegration over the Mediterranean.
This marks the 25th anniversary this August of my first flight, which was really about the first U.S. flight of the typical modern-day BalloonSat. And since that time, there are literally hundreds of people around the nation and the world flying amateur radio on board balloons. And you've probably all seen the Lego Man and the Balloon Boy and all the things that get the press and publicity. Basically, they're flying a cell phone and a camera. But really, they always ask them, how did you figure that out? And they said, oh, well, we just decided to do it. Well, what the reality was is they found out about amateur radio high-altitude ballooning on the internet, and they just decided, well, amateur radio, that's too complicated. Let's use a cell phone. And the fact they used a cell phone, that makes it all very popular, and that makes the news. But in fact, high-altitude ballooning and, in fact, high-altitude photography, which is all the big craze right now, has been going on for 25 years. In fact, one of the payloads was built right in Don Miller's lab. It was 25 years ago, Don. W9NTP from Waldron, Indiana. We built several amateur television payloads right in his workshop. What the BalloonSat is, we carry amateur radio on board weather balloons. In fact, some go up on larger balloons. Why would you do that? Why would you risk hundreds of dollars of equipment, sometimes thousands, to let it go into the edge of space, into the stratosphere, on board a free flight balloon? Why would you do that? Well, what's the biggest advantage on VHF communications? Antenna height, right? From a jet airplane, you can see about 230 miles at 34,000 feet. From the top of Don's tower, what is it, about 120 feet? You can probably see 20 miles or so. At 100,000 feet, which is where these balloons typically go, you can see 400 miles in all direction. You can see the blackness of space and actual curvature of the Earth. Just imagine if you had a repeater at that altitude. You can cover the entire Midwest, an 8-state area, and we've done that many times. A simplex repeater where you transmit to a voice recorder on a little voice board. There are several manufacturers that make that. And then it transmit back what it hears. That's the simplest repeater you can send up on a balloon, just an HT and one of these modules. And it is a blast. You can literally talk from somebody in Indiana or Ohio all the way to Alabama. And we've done that many times, and it's great fun. You can do a linear transponder, just like having an Oscar satellite. Only it's a lot easier to track because they're moving very slowly. And instead of a 10-minute pass, you've got 2 hours to talk through this thing. There have been some great advances in long-duration flight, which I'm going to talk about. One group sent a balloon a fourth of the way around the world. Now, if you could put a repeater or relay transponder on that, that would be pretty fantastic. Now, if you can keep one up all the way around the world and keep it going, you have yourself a very, very low orbiting satellite. I'm going to talk about the California Near Space Project. This is formed by Ron Meadows, K6RPT, his son Lee, and a few other members in Silicon Valley. And his initial goal was to set an altitude record. So he did a whole series of flights. Balloons are measured by the weight of the balloon, so he flew 1,600-gram balloons. But these are new ones from China, and they seem to go higher and last longer. And the biggest killer in the stratosphere for a latex weather balloon is UV radiation. Well, these seem to be very UV resistant. And he flew one back in December. He flew two high-altitude attempts and two floater flights. You can actually get a latex balloon to float. He used hydrogen, and hydrogen is becoming the de facto standard gas for ballooning because helium is a limited resource, and as some of you may have noticed, helium prices are literally going through the roof to the stratosphere. They are skyrocketing. Just unbelievable. I had one quote for a standard tank, which I paid $80 for last year. One supplier wanted $300 for it. And some of the suppliers don't even supply it anymore. They just laugh at you. Helium? You want helium? So hydrogen, it's safe if you take a few precautions, and it's a lot cheaper, and it goes higher. Their record-breaking altitude flight was over 136,000 feet. I've been trying to break the 120,000-foot barrier for 20 years. These new balloons come along, and they start going way, way high. He flew four balloons on December 11th. K6RPT 13 and 14 were high-altitude attempts. And Dash 11 and Dash 12, these are all transmitting on APRS on 14439. They devised a precision fill system with a balanced beam kind of arrangement with PVC pipe to precisely inflate the balloon to within grams of what they wanted to lift. To get a balloon to float without any vent in this kind of system is very tricky. You have to send it up with a very low ascent rate. It has to be a big balloon, 1,600 grams. You could float a 1,000-gram balloon, which NG0X did because he was chasing along with these people. But typically you want to use something around the 1,600-gram variety and very lightweight payload with just a couple ounces of lift. They were flying a 5-ounce payload made by Big Red B. It's their 2-meter high-power APRS. It was running 4 AA lithiums. I'm not sure of the output power, but something like 2 watts when it transmits. Very lightweight, just in a styrofoam box. And this payload lasted over 50 hours on 4 AA batteries. Now you want to use lithium batteries because it gets down to 40, 50, 60 below zero, even if it's a 100-degree day on the ground. It's very cold, particularly at night in the stratosphere. And in fact, they were flying over 110,000 feet. They launched at night. Why did they launch at night? Well, you get a whole nighttime flight without having to worry about UV degradation from the sun.
You're listening to a 2012 Dayton Hamvention Talk by balloon specialist Bill Brown, WBHELK. We'll conclude his thoughts about the 2012 California Near Space Project in a moment. The Rain Report normally updates Saturday morning at therainreport.com and via Twitter.
The first two flights they did landed near Groom Lake, Area 51. I don't think they got them back because it actually landed on Area 51 from what one, at least one of them did. K6RPT-12 flew all night long and the next day, and that one burst. Now, that was a different brand of balloon. It's the balloon that we've been using for years. It's made by Totex. Very fine balloons. But getting them to fly more than about 6 or 7 hours in full daylight in the stratosphere is very difficult. K6RPT-11 lasted 57 hours and 2 minutes. How many of you participate in the balloon chase? That's really a lot of fun. That's part of the thing I really enjoy is the chase. In the Bay Area, they actually have a group called StratoFox, and whenever there's a balloon launch anywhere near, and they have a wide range of several hundred miles, well, maybe more, this group was formed to do fox hunting on balloons and rockets. And they actually have a chase plane, and they're called StratoFox.org. It's a fascinating website, a lot of neat stories. But I don't think they actually got the ones back from Area 51. The first two landed in Area 51, but Dash 11 and Dash 12 were just chugging right along across the Midwest of the United States. Well, Mark Caviezel from Oxnard, California, who lives about 350 miles to the south of San Jose, he decided, well, I'm going to make a race out of it. So he took a 1,000-gram balloon with 1 ounce of positive lift and managed to get it to float all night and all day. And you'll see RPT-11 on the left there near Colorado. That's the one that actually made it to Europe. Out in the lead was Dash 12 approaching Illinois. And right above, even though it was launched 300 miles to the south, it's caught right up to them. That's the weird thing about the wind patterns. And there's NG0X-2 just chasing along, making a race. Now, unfortunately, the batteries died on that one at sunset. It got really cold, and he had very little insulation. Actually, he only had 4 batteries, and that one probably should have had about 6 to survive a night. stopped its last transmission just east of Findlay, Ohio, which, curiously enough, is where I launched my first one 25 years ago. But he was about 90,000 feet above Findlay, Ohio. Now, RPT-12, it burst and landed southwest of Indianapolis, Indiana, hanging in the tree. Howard Brooks, KC9QBN, runs the base program from DePauw University, and he went out and grabbed one. This one come balloon mail all the way from California. Now, you might think, as we headed out to sea, out of range of the U.S. digipeters, that would be the end of the story, because, after all, there aren't any digipeters out there in the middle of the Atlantic. Or are there? Well, the next morning, we sent emails to hams in the Azores and Portugal, and we were hoping that maybe by some chance this balloon was still flying. Now, there's a catch. The APRS frequency in Europe is 144.8. 144.39 is a voice channel. And so we actually convinced the hams in the Azores in Portugal to change their frequency on their digipeters and take a listen. So they all tuned over to 144.39. And this is the result. This was about 400 miles from Spain, being received by CT1END. Now, isn't that an appropriate call sign, the end of the mission? In Lisbon, Portugal. It actually was still going 150 miles an hour at 110,500 feet. Now, the hams really had a ball with this. Pedro, CT2JTR, picked this up on his handheld D72 in Lisbon, Portugal. And like I say, 110,000 feet, your line of sight range is over 400 miles. And they were having a blast with this over in Europe. They really were. Well, it finally crossed over the southern part of Spain, becoming a Mediterranean cruise. It burst after a few more hours in sunlight. It does have its limit, but apparently a lot better than previous balloons that we've used. The balloon is called Hawoi. I believe I pronounced that right. It's H-W-O-Y-E-E. Or maybe it's Wowie. I'm not sure which. But scientific sales will sell those particular balloons. And they're really interesting to play with. The last packets were received at about 14,000 feet, just north of Algeria. Hopefully it landed on a cruise boat. By EB6AOK. There's another interesting call sign. Although a balloon parachuting down in the Mediterranean may not be considered AOK.
Bill Brown, WBATLK, a high-altitude balloon specialist, excerpted from his 2012 Dayton Hamvention talk. Congrats to Bill on his 25 years of pioneering high-altitude ballooning. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2012 Rain, all rights reserved. Now, for all those connected with the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from The Rain Report, www.therainreport.com.